Oh, this morning on Pixie's Bush Breakfast, I have got in the studio with me the legend himself, the Black Elvis, the Curry King of Country. That's what he's got. He's over there wincing. It's Roger Knox. Good morning, mate. How are you?
G'day, Pixie. How are you, brother?
Oh, mate, it's I tell you, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here.
It's been a while.
You're a Gomeroi man. You're born in Moree.
Yeah.
And brought up in the Tumala Aboriginal Mission near Bogabilla there.
Yeah.
Where I hung around when I was a kid because we were a poor family. What was it like for you back when you were a kid?
They were good times back when I was a kid because
I mean, you're 63 now, is it?
Yeah, don't tell everyone.
Oh, shush. Oh, shush. I'll edit that out. I won't. I'll leave it.
But, yeah, I grew up at Tumala and, you know, it was a pretty good time. I mean, it was hard times and bad times and sad times and going off mad time, but they were good times. We got on well with each other.
See, I should be here with a pen writing this down because you're so poetic.
Yeah,
you're a black bush poet as well.
Yeah. Well, I've been around. I've learned from so many great people and I listened to so many great people. But, yeah, I grew up in Tumala, and that's a story in that itself because my mother... See, we weren't allowed in to the Gundiwindi Hospital. Aboriginal people weren't allowed in the hospital.
My father worked there. Wow.
Yeah, and we were. My mother had to go to Moree, you know, two or three months before birth, and then wait around and then come back. And my generation, up to my generation, was born in Moree, even though we, you know, all lived at Tumala. We come from Tumala, yeah.
So that's where, like, outlying areas were brought to the mission as well? Like, kids from the outlying areas were brought there? Well, families were brought there?
Well, not necessarily brought there. A lot of them left. Because, see, there was a second from Tumala, there was Old Yoruba. We had three migrations from Old Yoruba to Old Tumala to present-day Tumala. And a lot of people had moved to different other towns from Tumala. So, yeah, we had people coming and going, but... Yeah, mainly all relations, but, yeah, a lot of them, you know, from the old original mission in Boomai, that's a lot of them moved from there to other places like Moree and St. George and different other towns, Mangandai, yeah.
When you said three migrations, was that economic, family ties?
Well, we all have our reasons, and my belief is that, you know, the work ran out there and, you know, there's a word called exploitation. Well, they said water, the water ran out there, and they moved on to Old Tumala, and then same thing happened there, the water ran out, they said, and it was moved to the present-day site in Tumala where the two rivers meet, the McIntyre and the Dumeric.
You know, there's a lot of white fellas that can't even pronounce that right, that Dumeric.
Yeah, that's right. We just say sovereign.
Dumerisk. Dumerisk.
Yeah, Dumerisk,
they
yeah.
pronounce it Dumerisk.
Yeah. But, yeah, we... The two and the Dumeric River was bigger than the McIntyre, and when they both came into flood, you know, it just backed the McIntyre up and caused a lot of havoc. On the mission where we grew up, it's just flood time, and the floods hang around for weeks. Then after that, but now
makes everything smelly too.
Oh yeah, a lot of you know things happen, a lot of diseases and snakes and you know things brought down with the floods. But yeah, they were good times. We you know everyone.
It was a different time too. It's just late '60s.
Well, we're still under the old system, the managers, the welfare, and that we were still under that when I was growing up. As a people, we all came together. We were strong and had a lot of respect and love for each other and our culture. Mm-hmm. Even though our culture was taken away from us, a lot of our songs, our dances, our language, it took a lot of the songs and dance because songs was important to us even way back in them times, you know, singing songs, telling stories through song, through dance. But that was taken away from us and we lost a lot of that. But we survived. Mm. We are survivors, yeah.
So your country music, when you first started when you were a kid, who inspired you as a young fella? Well, did you grab a broomstick and play the air guitar in the kitchen?
I was asked this question in a radio station in America, and I grew up with singing gospel songs.
Right.
And my grandmother, she taught Sunday school, and she ran the church there, and my mother sang in the church, and you know, we look forward to singing songs in church, and, you know, we look forward to that. And that's Sunday music I knew, but I knew songs from...
How wonderful is that, to be brought up with that? I mean, how wonderful.
Well, you know, not knowing... See, I did a gospel album, and... Not knowing that some of them songs, When I Get to Glory, I'm going to sing them song. That song was written by Hank Williams. I didn't know that.
Yes, that you brought that out in 86. That was an NREC record.
NREC record, yeah. And that's something I wanted to do for my grandmother, who, You know, she was in the church and my auntie's in the church, and that's something I wanted to do. I really wanted to do something like, you know, while she was alive, but I didn't get the opportunity. So I eventually got around to do it, and a lot of the songs that she taught us, and little did I know that they were songs that, you know, written by overseas artists. And also I had some songs sent to me from overseas and on that album. But gospel music is only music I knew. Plus, I got into country, and only other country we knew was Slim Dusty.
Wow.
Because a lot of our, you know, cousins and brothers and that, all they knew was Slim Dusty, and they sat around. I learned songs, Slim Dusty song from them, not Slim Dusty. I never heard him until way into the, you know, 70s.
Yeah.
To hear him sing his song, I learned all his songs from my cousin. They taught me to play guitar, and they played him exactly like Barry Thornton.
Wow, Barry Thornton. Wow, yes. The old Bazza. Miss him so much.
Yeah, oh, he's a big influence, a lot of our
big
people.
Influence on a lot of kids growing up, mate.
Yeah.
Barry was.
Yeah. And not only that, Slim was a true friend of the Aboriginal people too. And
Buddy Williams was the bloke that impressed me.
Buddy Williams, now, well, I'll tell you something, Buddy Williams had Aboriginal heritage as well.
Mm. Yes, he did.
And it was people like Buddy Williams and Slim Dusty. That's the only sort of country I knew. But not learning from Slim. I learned it from my cousin who went out and learned some music and come back and played it to us. I learned it from them.
Wow.
Then we got into rock and roll, Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry, and stuff.
Well, I didn't know Chuck Berry. I didn't know, you know, and what he was talking about. But this music was really good. And that's how I I swung to country. But I guess I'm country, yeah. But you can call it what you want to call it. I went from Toomla to Tamworth, but I went there.
There's a song there.
Well, yeah, it's a long way. In them days.
I should write these down. He keeps saying it all the time.
But I went to Tamworth for some work with my cousin, who was a singer and a guitar player.
Mm.
And we went there for some work, and I went there, you know, play some sports, some football.
You played the football, you were good?
We played it pretty good, I guess. It was rough. I mean, we didn't have a, you know.
I was always juice boy. I was too little. I played left, right, out.
Yeah, or full back, way back. Yeah, no.
Get him off the field. Put him a dress on him and send him juice in at half time. That'll do him.
Yeah, I can imagine. But picture,
not too hard.
But I went to Tamworth with one of my cousins called Albert Dennis. And Albert, he was the guy who took me to Joe Maguire's pub.
Ah, Joe.
And that's where it started for me. And, you know, I got up and he encouraged me and coaxed me and practically drugged me. And at that particular time, there was Jeff Brown.
He was
playing at Joe Maguire's. The first time I got up and sang in front of white people anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it was all my own mob when I got up and sang.
Wow.
But this was a different thing. All together, I was really nervous.
I remember when we first worked with you in Tamworth, and it was like the start of the dynasty, as it were. we were on the studio, NREC Studios, with me mate Steve Newton.
Yeah, and I reckon he's one of the best sound engineers going.
He's quite extraordinary. You've done a lot of albums with Steve over the years, but that one I remember on the veranda of Darling Street, where NREC Records started.
That was Randy Wilson's house.
Randall Wilson's house, and I lived two doors up from that.
Yes.
And we had a vocal booth. You remember that? The vocal booth on the veranda in the toilet.
It was in the toilet. Well, because you can hear dogs barking in the night outside. And stop them dogs. You can't stop them dogs from barking.
It was in the toilet and it was all packed with carpet and everything. And Steve Newton tells me, years later he told me, you know, Roger Knox, we recorded that album with him in the booth there with all the carpet in the circle. He tells me years later he was allergic to carpet. And is that true?
That's true.
You had to put up with it being itchy all the way through the session.
Yes, and wheezy.
Oh, no. you toured with a lot of them, as I said, over the years, but one of them, I mentioned it to you early, and I've never had a chance to talk to you about it much, but I was standing in the kitchen of John Minson's house in Kalala in 1981, I think it was, 82, and our drummer Ken Ramsey had left Tamworth for a while, and he went on tour with the old mate Brian Young and with you. Anyway, he'd been away for a couple of weeks, and so it was strange when I thought I saw him standing in the doorway of the lounge room at John Minson's house in Tamworth.
Wow.
And when I turned around to say, you're back early, there was no one there.
Yeah, it's weird.
Half an hour later, we get the phone call about something that changed your life. Would you mind telling us about that?
Yeah, well, I was on tour with Brian Young. There was Johnny Green was with us, and Kenny Ramsey, and Johnny Bridgeland. We went to a place called Brewarna. Then Brewarna was our last before we were setting off to Nadada, just crossing Lake Eyre, and we had a, you know, I was enjoying the scenery going across the lake, and then engine started to splutter and, you know, play up. So the pilot, he didn't panic, he just said, we have to stop this engine. So he stopped it, and then he called Mayday, Mayday, Mayday three times, and we just made it across the lake. I guess we could have made it in the data, but because we were overloaded, we didn't have the power to get up over a rocky range.
Sound gear and stuff.
Sound gear, yeah. And you know, in touring by plane, yes. Everything had to be packed right.
Absolutely, yep.
Nothing out of place. And it just that we didn't have enough power to get to Udinadada, so we had to ditch that plane in the desert and got out of that all right. That was about 11:30 that morning.
Mm.
And we waited around to be rescued, and it was the rescue plane that was the fatal crash. We was there all day.
Wow.
We waited there all day to be rescued because a Coast Guard picked up our signal. He came down and alerted another plane, and they came out, took our pilot, went back to get another plane, and we had to clear the ground so he could land.
Oh, dear.
And he made about 3-4 shuttle trips to Udinadada. And myself, Ken Ramsey, and Stephen Buns were the last ones to be picked up. And by this time, the ground search and rescue people had found us, and it was just after dark that we took off. They had to line their cars up so we could take off, and they actually seen us come down. I don't know how long it took. To me, it was seemed ages.
Gosh.
Going through that.
I mean, two planes in one day. Come on.
That was the fatal crash, brother.
Come on, two in
the
one day.
The first one was amazing. Scary. It was all right. We got out that okay.
You're meant to be around, that's for sure, mate.
Well, I thank God every day.
Absolutely.
And, you know.
But the strange thing out of that I think people would like to hear is that, I mean, because of that, you got addicted to painkillers, if you don't mind me saying.
Yes,
and you had to get off. But your elders, the elders of your tribe, they did something special
for you. And I couldn't walk. I was in a wheelchair as well when I went back home. And I was going a little bit crazy because I went cold turkey with all that drugs and that and started to go a bit womber and dead. And, you know, and I didn't realise that at the time, but when she was healing my body, I believe that she was also healing my mind.
Yeah, yes, yes.
And I was there for 3 weeks, and I went from the wheelchair to crutches, and then from the crutches to the...
And this is traditional medicine?
Yes, it's traditional medicine, yes. And she's since passed on. She was... but even when growing up as a child, she would always tend to us in the sickness through medicine, you know.
And this is because of this, you... You named your band?
Yoruba, yeah. Yoruba is healing medicine, yeah. That's part of the Gomeroi Nation. And it was my auntie who healed me, give me that name. My great auntie, yeah. And she was the one who, you know, tended to our sicknesses as a child. She would always look after us. And
like a phoenix rising, literally from the fires of a plane crash, you came back and you recorded a number of albums over the years. You haven't got a golden guitar.
No.
Yet. I don't know what's wrong with them. We'll have to have words. Jimmy Little Lifetime Achievement Award in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Music in the 2006 Deadlies. That would have been amazing.
Yeah, that was one of my highlights of my career.
But through it all, even those things, through it all, for instance, I was floored to find out you got denied a US visa at one stage.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy. I mean, they, you know, John Langford and those guys, they really give it to the... Okay. Public up within the public up behind us, and good. Wow!
But you tour all over the world now.
Yeah, I've been to London, England.
It's amazing what you do, carrying your culture with you. I mean, that's an extraordinary thing.
And that's what I'm doing now. I'm just doing an album, you know, talking about our culture in through our, you know, artists like Dougie Young and you know, people like that, Harry Williams and.
Well, I was going to say the tradition carries on through your own family.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, well, there's they're pretty brilliant musician.
Buddy Knox, he's one of our stars here at 98.9 FM in the Blues Hour.
Wow, yeah, Buddy's...
You know, Buddy.
Yeah,
he's hard fitting through the doors here, but don't tell him I said that. Don't you tell him I said that.
No, hold on.
And then...
Yeah.
And then
he look a bit like B.B. King, don't he?
Oh, bigger than B.B. King.
Maybe so.
He'll be bigger than B.B. King. And I was on the phone to Steve Newton, our old mate, the other day.
Oh, Steven,
and you've got grandchildren. You've got Guri now.
Yeah.
Young Guri is with his writing his own songs.
Yes.
Was in the CCMA search for a singer in Tamworth recently and done really deadly there, apparently.
Yes, he also went to The Voice or something.
Wow.
He did that.
Wow.
And, yeah, he's a brilliant entertainer. He's really an entertainer. He's also is grandson of Oriel Andrews.
Well, see, what that's... how could you go wrong with that?
Well, you know Oriel, eh?
She's golden.
Yeah.
I love Oriel.
She's brilliant.
Oh, yeah. She's good. Yeah, I can't breathe when she cuddles me, but that's another...
She's taller than you, though, aren't you? No, you're taller than me.
Everybody's taller than me. Come on. Good God. It's a milk crate to get up to you. Been on television, you've been in movies like your part in The Walker Clear, that man who would be king from the book, CD and video, The Buried Country, the story of Aboriginal country music.
Buried Country, yeah.
What a fantastic thing that is.
What a fantastic story. Yeah, that story,
absolutely.
I believe that story should be in libraries all over the country.
I absolutely agree with you. People should learn all about that. ABC Radio National Away, they had Roger Knox, Curry King of Country. Living Black, Series 7, Episode 4. How about that? I know me stuff.
7:30 Report. We did
7:30 Report.
Where I got a...
So if any time a fat, suited white guy walks up to you with a big book in his hand and go, Roger Knox, this is your life, don't have a heart attack.
Oh, no. No. Long as he's nice, I'll be
It'll probably be Bray nice. Martin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I reckon he gets some indigenous blood in him too, that's all.
They're all coming out, mate.
It's coming out.
They're all coming out.
And you know The Buried Country, you picked, it was through that series that John Langford picked up on some of the songs that we did and the stories. And
so where have you been recently? Tell us about that.
Well, I just came back from Hardly Strictly Bluegrass Festival.
You had to ask Mrs. then.
Yeah, well, I've done so many things. But that was the biggest. The first day there was over 30,000 people now, you know. And the whole 3 days, there were 700,000 people.
And you've got a band, you've got a multinational band.
Yeah, I've got two bands over there, the Waco Brothers and the Sadies and the Cosmonauts, what they call it, Pine Valley Cosmonauts.
What a life you're having.
Oh, they're good to me, though, people over there, John Langford and the Sadies. You know, Sadies at the moment touring with Neil Young. And they
don't tell me that. Yeah. Yeah, well, it gets real cold over there, that big superstorm and everything over there.
Yeah, I don't like the cold.
And you just made it out.
I'm a hot-blooded black fella. Yeah, I don't like the cold. But, yeah, that's why I just came back from there. We went to Chicago, Madison. Madison, yeah, a little place called Macon, but I don't know what state it's in.
San Francisco. Madison. Did you see them? Did you see my mates? They're all there.
Yeah, they're everywhere. And they have many different nationalities and complexion, brother. Tell you.
But they're all pink in some way. I don't know. Just a personal thing.
And they say if you go there, you get a worse of flower than you. You
know? Didn't somebody write a song?
Yeah, but Pixie was a good experience for me, you know, playing in such big crowds and...
Fantastic.
You know, I'm used to playing ye and to my own people, you know, and I do a lot of that. But to go over there, and I really wanted to help promote this. What they call an Aboriginal story songbook.
Right.
Yeah, and, you know, of all Aboriginal country music artists.
Right.
Writers.
Right.
Singers. And, you know, performing in to the white people of America. And to promote it to the wider community, to tell our stories.
Yeah.
Not only there, but here as
I absolutely need to do it here.
Yeah, and, and you know, I mean, people like Dougie Young, who he wasn't known as a songwriter, you know, he made up many songs and poems. And there's a story, and if I can tell it to you, there's a rumour going around in his part of the country, and I don't doubt it, that he was good mates with our GP.
Gordon Parsons?
Yeah. They knocked about together.
Oh, hell.
So, you know, and the rumour out there said that it was Dougie Young who wrote Papa No Beer. And I don't doubt that.
Well, you hear these, don't you, eh? Oh,
you hear these stories?
I heard Dan Burns was buried at Ipswich Cemetery. So there you go.
Dan Burns.
From the Kelly Gap. Mate, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you on Pixie's Bush Breakfast this morning. I've had the Black Elvis, a man that's been instrumentally important in Australian country music for the last 40 years or more. As I say, it's an honour to have you here. And, would you mind playing a little, having a little jam with us? Would you mind? We get so many requests. I'm not casting any aspersions at the old Sheilas, but I get the old Sheilas asking all the time.
Young Sheilas like it too.
Apparently. I wouldn't know. But the old Sheilas ring up all the time and they say, can you put on that beautiful Curry Rose? Would you play the Curry Rose?
Beautiful song, brother.
Would you play that with me?
Yes. If you're in Moree, you live in Moree, you're still in Murray. We're not Currys.
Yeah, is it further south?
So I can't change it from Murray Rose. A Curry Rose to Murray Rose.
You could today.
Should I tell a story about that?
You could today. You could sing Murray Rose.
No,
today.
No, because if I do that, I'll be singing about a swimmer, a white swimmer.
Oh, Murray Rose. It really was. Yeah, was too. Yeah, he
I
was
can't
too.
Sing about him. I can't say I love you, my little Murray Rose.
Oh, no.
I'm not comfortable with
it. I could sing that. I'll sing that one. I'll write that down. Where's my biscuit?
Okay, brother, we'll do that, eh?